Sweeney, the Yankees have been one of, if not the best team in Major League Baseball since the All-Star break. In your eyes, what has been the true turning point of the season for this team?
Well, it's hard to say and pick just one because, like, I would have told you, if you'd asked me this 2 months ago and say what would be the turning point, I would tell you probably when they started hitting like they're capable and got healthy again. Well, neither one of those is really happening fully, but they're both kind of close. One significant aspect, not to put down what they're doing, but very significant, is their schedule is a lot easier during this stretch. They played some bad teams like Miami and Baltimore, Kansas City, and the Red Sox are not nearly as good as they were even just a month ago. They're pitching really well, and that's been one of the things that has been pretty steady all year long, starting pitching especially. I mean, that was a big question mark. It's funny because the strengths of this team coming into the season were supposed to be offense and bullpen, and not so much starting pitching. It's been the exact opposite to get them where they are right now. They're starting to hit a little bit more like they're capable, taking advantage of that a little bit more. And their relievers have gone through some spurts. But overall, they're playing a lot of close games and winning a lot of close games. So you got to be doing a lot of things right in order to win those close games. And whether it's getting the right hit or getting a big out of the pen, or making the right managerial decisions. I mean, those all go into winning, you know, 667 percentage of your 1- and 2-run ball games, which is what they're doing now. So that's a really long way of telling you, man, there's a lot of things happening.
And you mentioned the rotation success. I mean, the ERA is under 3 in the most recent stretch of games for the entire rotation. And you've had guys like Jameson Taillon completely turn the season around. And you have Andrew Heaney last night having the best start as a Yankee so far. So what do turnarounds like that from Heaney and Taillon mean to this rotation? And how have they been able to lift each other up throughout the season?
It makes it deeper right now. And listen, frankly, in the last week, just in the last couple of days, you know, Gerrit Cole and Jordan Montgomery came back. And that's huge. You're talking about a team that was trying to fill multiple starts with, you know, opener bullpen outings. And this team took a big hit. They lost 60% of their rotation all at once when Cole and Montgomery had to go on the COVID IL and Domingo Germán went down with a shoulder issue. Same time lost their oldest Chapman. There are a lot of pitching issues there. The fact that Cole and Montgomery have come back strong, that's a great sign. And Taillon has been, you know, you mentioned, it's been about 2 months now where he's been one of the best pitchers in the league. So just the depth of that is really a big key for the Yankees right now, because as they get into this position now, they woke up today and they're in playoff position. Okay, it's a wild card game, one game wild card. But if you have a rotation that has Gerrit Cole in it, and you have a lineup that has Aaron Judge and DJ LeMahieu and some other really, really good hitters in it, you can see where it's possible to win 11 games in a short period of time, or 12 if you're a wild card team, right, in the month of October. They have a few issues still, but, I mean, geez, doesn't everybody? So look at the American League. They're 5 games behind Tampa Bay. They're within 2 games overall record of Chicago and Houston, who lead both of their divisions. So they're right there with the best teams in the league. And, you know, if their pitching can get a little bit healthier, we'll find out more on Luis Severino and Corey Kluber, and if that can be any sort of boost. They've got themselves in a position where they're a dangerous team, and that's really all you're looking to do come October, be a dangerous team.
Sweeney Murdy with us here on BTL WFAN, Yankees beat reporter. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Yankees WFAN. Of course, you can hear him every night here on ESPN Ithaca during the Yankees postgame show. Anthony Rizzo obviously returning to the lineup yesterday, and I tell you what, this is a guy who I didn't know what to expect when he would put on the pinstripes, and he has been embraced, he's been loved, he's come through in the clutch, he has had just some tremendous moments in pinstripes. How important is he to this lineup considering the small amount of time that he missed because of his bout with COVID.
Yeah, and this kind of goes back to your first question about turning point of a season. If you think about what they did at the trade deadline to bring Gallo and Rizzo into the everyday lineup, bring a little balance back into the order with some left-handed hitters, bring some good defenders in. Both players are really good defenders, and that's been very obvious. It showed up a little bit more with Rizzo just because of the nature of his position, but Gallo has been very good too. That was one of the big weaknesses for this team, was their defense, and that is something that takes a step up. And consider that they still are without Gio Urshela, and if he can make his way back here soon, that'll put their best defensive team back on the field, and really for the first time all year. They fit very well. Good leaders, patient hitters, have power, play defense. Gallo and Rizzo together are the kind of players that just bring a little bit extra. They they play every day, and they make this just a deeper, better lineup. And overall, a deeper team.
And one interesting stat I saw today was that before the All-Star break, the Yankees had the fewest stolen bases in the league. But since the All-Star break, they have the most in the league with 29 since the break. So how much a difference does that, competent base running make for this team? It's been one of the huge differences from the first half to the second half.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit about opportunity. And having the right people take advantage of that. Brett Gardner wasn't getting on base very much in the first half of the season. He's gotten on base a little bit more. So that's certainly been a big part of it. Gleyber Torres has taken advantage. One of the things that, Gleyber Torres, you thought of him as bringing some power to this lineup, which he didn't for the first half of this season. So try to do some other things. Well, he did by stealing bases. Now he ended up hurting himself on one of those. When he jammed that wrist. So we'll see how he can come back and what kind of an impact he can make eventually here once again. But he's a big part of that. They're finding ways to do a few extra things, and it kind of gets contagious. It can't all happen in a vacuum. You can't just decide, okay, we're going to be the team now that steals bases. They're hitting the ball better too. And when you are presenting a dangerous lineup that has a chance to do something and you're providing a distraction for the pitcher by having somebody on base who might take off, it all goes hand in hand. I don't think it's about being one-dimensional this way, one-dimensional that way, or flipping a switch. Okay, you're not scoring runs this way, then let's score them this way. You can't really do that. You just kind of have to take advantage of opportunities that present themselves, and I think right now they're doing that.
I tell you what, everybody's in love with Andrew Velasquez right now, and rightfully so. I mean, what he's been doing out there, the Bronx kid, it's special. It's remarkable. And you brought up Glaber's name. I've got to ask, what do you think this team does and this ball club does if Velasquez keeps up what he's been doing? What's the situation between Velasquez and his playing time and Glaber potentially coming back here pretty soon?
Well, let's be realistic about who Andrew Velasquez is. It's a wonderful story.
Yeah.
He had born in the Bronx. He's 27 years old. He's had, 100-something big league at-bats across four seasons. And he got a couple of really big hits against the Red Sox and made some nice plays. I'm not going to pretend that he's Derek Jeter, but he's having a really good couple of days, and these are the kinds of guys you need to fill in. That's why he was brought here. He's a kid who had major league experience and was at AAA in case you had an injury to Gleyber Torres. Well, guess what? You had an injury to Gleyber Torres, and Velasquez is now filling in, and he's doing a pretty good job of that along with Tyler Wade. Let's wait to see when Gleyber Torres is coming back. He's not even close yet, so let's jump off that bridge when we get to it. And you just kind of hope that at this time of year, you're looking for, there's a reason that Andrew Velasquez has been in the minors for 9 years, right? And only parts of the big leagues. You didn't find an all-star, but you found a guy who all you're looking for when you're trying to find players to fill in for your stars is somebody who can get on a streak, get on a little bit of a roll, give you a good spurt. You're not asking for 6 good months. You're not asking for 12 good years. You're asking for, a couple of good weeks, and maybe you you can find that in some of these guys, whether it's some of the guys who've been called up to play in the outfield or, you know, in the infield, or even pitchers for that matter that are minor leaguers. This is what you're looking for, is you're looking for spurts. Velasquez is giving you a good spurt right now, and it's important to take advantage of that. But remember, the other guys, you know, he's batting ninth. The other guys are the ones who are helping put this lineup in a position to score some runs. They're also getting big hits. It's nice that he's able to contribute here. It is a wonderful story. I mean, this kid is so easy to root for. He feels like any of us would feel just putting on a big league uniform, because he's doing it in his backyard. He grew up in the Bronx. He's actually living with his parents, right? Not living, but, you know, he's staying with his parents while the team is at home, instead of staying at a Manhattan hotel where the other minor leaguers stay when they get called up. You know, and why wouldn't you? It's a short ride to the ballpark. And here he is. He leaves his house that he grew up in and says, bye, Mom, bye, Dad. I'm going to go play shortstop for the Yankees now. And, oh, by the way, they're playing the Red Sox. There's 40,000 people in the seats. I've never played in front of a crowd that big. And I'm going to go get a couple of big knocks and make a diving play or two. Is that okay? I'll see you. Don't wait up. I'll see you later. It's great. He got that first hit in the day game on Tuesday. I asked him yesterday, I said, what did it feel like standing on first base after hitting that two-run single? He said, man, my hands were shaking. And not because I was nervous. It's just, you know, it's just this environment. And it's just real easy to root for somebody like that. A lot of fun.
That's awesome. And one straightforward question I have is, do Yankee fans owe Aaron Boone an apology for this season, considering they were all calling for his head in the first half, and now this team is on a roll and one of the better teams in the league in the second half?
I don't think Aaron Boone is looking for one. I think he did a really good job on Tuesday after the doubleheader sweep. A lot of the questions posed to him were about the idea of, you know, cutting down that deficit in a short period of time and catching the Red Sox and putting yourself in a position where you're now, you know, squarely in the playoff race for real, because you're holding down a spot. And Boone didn't bite on those questions. He knows he hasn't accomplished anything yet, and there's still 40 games to play, and that there's something still, you know, they really just had to work hard just to get back to where they're kind of supposed to be. So I thought he did a really good job of not playing into that. And as someone who knows him pretty well told me last night, you know, that's the way that he's handling this. Even in the bad times, he was playing that long game and saying, it's going to turn. We're going to get better. We're going to do that. We have to play better. We have to clean this up. We have to do this. We have to do that. And I have faith. Well, he was laughed at because you couldn't see it coming. Well, and why would you see it coming? You don't ever see it coming until it happens, right? It's impossible to think a team that's floundering to stay over 500 is going to challenge first place, because you don't see the elements that go into doing that. But baseball's a long season. You just got to get through it, play it, and wait to see if a hot streak can carry you. Go back to 2017, the year the Yankees took the Astros to Game 7. That team won 91 games and made the playoffs as a wild card. But you know what they did? They started the season, I believe, 21-9 or 22-9, and ended the season 21-9 or 22-9. In between, they played 100 games or they were 500, and they didn't look like a playoff team. You got to ride the hot streaks, hope they put you in a position to do something good. And let's see where this finishes, because that's the attitude Aaron Boone is taking. And guess what? There's a game today. Got to go win today. It's not about taking pats on the back or asking for apologies.
Sweeney, as always, we really appreciate the time here on the show. Thanks so much, and hopefully we'll be chatting with you down the road here soon, okay?
Nick and Dan, thanks for having me, man. Good luck to everybody in Ithaca.